Love Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to my show. I am Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and I am so happy you have joined us today. You know, to hear about another health issue which we've all been encountering, which is chronic pain. And on this show, I'd like to take something everyone may be encountering, but really looking at it through many different angles. So many times, you know, our body screams for attention, and until it stops you cold in your tracks, many people medicate the symptoms and the pain, and they never really address the core issue. Our focus today is about pain, not medications or surgeries or diagnosing other diseases. Really, Dr. William and I, we plan to share how pain may be looked at differently, and maybe things about prevention or resolution might be the answer to our complete health, not just kind of going around it, maybe looking at it. My guest today is Dr. William Sharshan, a chiropractor in New Jersey. He specializes in the mechanics of the body and how the bones and muscles work together, and more importantly, how to recognize when a body is not working in harmony and causing real pain or disease. Dr. William has written a very comprehensive book entitled Cheating Mother Nature, What You Need to Know to Beat Chronic Pain. While we all may be touched on some topics in the book, Dr. Sharshan, he's going to be talking about how he sees the people with health issues, how to identify a problem, and what can be done to support a person's health. Since, you know, pain is so vaguely defined word, it sometimes seems to touch almost everyone. Relief is also a very broad solution that rarely gets to the source of the problem. Almost everybody can say that they have all gone to the doctor at some point and said, I've got pain, fix me. So I'd like to welcome Dr. William to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. William.
All right, thanks for having me.
You know, it seems such a broad topic, huh, what we're going to talk about today?
Well, you know, the problem with chronic pain is that most people don't understand it. And the real issue that we have out there is that when people are in pain, what do they base this off of? They usually base it off of their previous experiences. And there's this idea that when you're not in pain, it's fine. And when you are in pain, it's bad. And most people don't realize that the way that we're built and our body style has a lot to do with how we feel. And many of these problems start very, very young, and we don't really know that they're problems, but they are family traits. And this is one of the things that I try to make people aware of in the book.
Well, you know, I find it so interesting when people say, I don't have pain, I'm healthy. In other words, if it isn't broken, I'm good to go, when really that sometimes is so far from the truth. You know, I would like you to possibly give the listeners some information about even starting with how you even got started on this path. You know, being a chiropractor is one thing and being trained a certain way, but how you expanded it out to be able to look at really everybody in a different light.
Well, many, many years ago, I got very frustrated. I've been in practice since 1985. Around 1992, I started to learn this new thing, or relatively new thing, called active release techniques, which is a method of doing myofascial release, which is essentially stripping muscles or the myofascia, which basically covers all the tissues in the body. So you have myofascia that covers muscles, you have myofascia that covers ligaments, you have myofascia that covers organs. And the problem is that it can actually cause pain because our body style, or the unique way that we're built, has a lot to do with how we function. But most people don't know that. Most people come from a certain family line. They're used to seeing people get old a certain way. They consider that normal, and there is no normal. And all there is that we follow family lines. So if your parents were flat-footed and they had back pain, chances are you're going to have it, but it's not because of your back. It's because of your body build. And then this myofascia kind of builds according to that. So it builds according to the forces we place upon it. And when you tie this all in together, the way we feel at the age of six is how we see the world, and that's what we consider normal. So there is no normal. There is no I'm good one day, I'm bad the next. It's like I'm just normal, and when I'm in pain, well, that's not normal. And that's how people see it. And the problem I saw is that doctors were looking at where you hurt and not why. And even when a doctor does a diagnosis, and you know as well as I do, if you're in, if you're a physician, that we're taught to go ahead and classify things as conditions and do stuff to it instead of understand what those conditions are. And I got very, very frustrated, and I started doing things differently. I started looking at people holistically, which, you know, the word holistic brings up all these weird connotations, but holistic just means is that you look at people as a whole instead of just their parts. So are we the parts or are we the sum of the parts? And do the sum of the parts work together as a mechanical mechanism? And around the time of the recession, many businesses, including mine, had slowed down. And I had time to really think about this. And I said, you know what? I got to write about this and get it out. And that's how I came up with the idea for the book. And instead of coming up with a self-help book, which gives you a whole bunch of different things that don't really work and don't really make a difference, this is a book that teaches you about you, from a patient's point of view, teaches you what's gone wrong, what may go wrong, how to understand your own body style, how to look at others, how to look at others in your family. And basically, by getting smarter, you become a better patient and you become a smarter patient. And most importantly, in this healthcare environment, you become a better consumer of healthcare services.
You know, so many times people have no clue what all of these words mean. But what I always take them back to is also, you know, we always talk to the choir, they understand, or the people that come to church. But there's so many people that don't even understand that your body is actually trying to tell you something with all these little daily, you know, nicks or pains or tension or whatever. And they don't really realize that all of those things are something. They think, oh, you know, really, man, my hips really hurt yesterday. Oh, so what? You know, and then, you know, 10 years down the road, you're wondering why your discs are out. You know, I like to talk to people and I say, really, your body is just like this big bag. All it is it's an encasing of bones and muscles and all of this fluids. How that shifts or how that moves, just like a water balloon, will make a great difference in what you see and how you function. And I think you see that all the time. That's exactly what you're trying to say, just in different words.
Right. And you know, I'm a very analytical thinker. I have an engineering background. I went to engineering school. So when I look at the body, I look at angles. I look at mechanics. Right. I look at distortions. That's how I look at people. And the bottom line is, to make it really simple for people to understand, symmetry is good, asymmetry is bad. And it can't get more simple than that. Those of us who are built more asymmetrical are going to have a whole lot more problems in their knees, hips, and backs. And the fact is it runs along family lines. And when you look at others in your family, the reason that a lot of people, I believe, think that this is just normal and it's normal aches and pains is if you've been surrounded by people that are like that, that's how you view the world. And I always tell people, here's an idea. Go to someone else's barbecue and get a reality check.
Right.
You know, and when you visit their family and they're walking around and, oh, my knees never bother me. And, you know, I never get neck pain. You know, and suddenly you start to realize, wow, they're so good. And I hear this all the time with this whole overuse injuries thing. I said, why is it overuse for her and it's not overuse for her? And she's doing more than you were. So, and we have these colloquialisms that we've used in healthcare, and we've convinced physicians to talk to their patients that way. They've been brainwashed to think that this is all real, and it's really not. And the bottom line is that I tell people, I said, the goal in life is to live a full life and have a good quality of life. And anything you can do to enhance the quality of your life and have less pain is what you really want. because it's improved function, which is what we're after. It's not really pain relief. Because most people, what they really want to do is they want pain. They don't want just pain relief. They want to go ahead and find, how can I get a hold of this? How can I get this problem taken care of?
So in your practice, if, let's say, somebody has really bad knees and their ankles have been bothering them since they've had shin splints and stuff when they were a little kid, how do you work with people like that?
Well, the first thing you have to do
What is your first
is
thing?
Well, the first thing you have to do is understand what shin splints are. Mm-hmm. Shin splints are basically a shortening and tightening of the tibialis anterior, tibialis posterior, and the peronei muscles, which are in the front compartment of the shin. And the shin splints is kind of a lay person's word, but what really, if you take a look at it, and there's a lot of examples of this on my blog, and people who want to go ahead and look it up, they can look it up on Diary of an NJ Chiropractor. They can go ahead and type that in on Google, and there'll be tons of posts, and then you can go in the search and search it. But I go into detail on this because the fact is that that's just a symptom. Hip pain is just a symptom. Back pain is just a symptom. What we actually see are these things that we call kinetic chains, which are the series of joints from the ankle to the knee to the hip, or the shoulder to the elbow to the wrist. Those joints, if one is different than the other, it's going to create a torsion in the pelvis. What that torsion in the pelvis is going to do is it's going to go ahead and cause you to slam your feet in the ground. That puts extra strain on these areas. What ends up happening also is if the feet are flat or they turn out, the angles that these tendons work out is much more exaggerated than it would if you have good alignment. And that good alignment is what many podiatrists call neutral foot or neutral. And the desired way to have the foot working is neutral. That's why you go in and you go to a running store, and they might talk about things like overpronation, which is the foot flaring out and falling in, and they have these shoes that supposedly control it. Why? Because when you control it and the foot doesn't flare out as much, we don't have that symptom of shin splints flaring up as more often. And then the other thing is that we level out the pelvis. And the way the body works is all the force in the body goes to the pelvis. If the pelvis is distorted, like we see with people with chronic knee, hip, back, what ends up happening is we don't distribute weight properly as we're walking. We slam our feet in the ground. We get problems like shin splints, plantar fasciitis, if you're a runner, possibly stress fractures. And most people are looking at the stress fracture and not how it got there. And we need to go ahead and change that paradigm to something that makes sense, because that's how people need to have it dealt with. And when you deal with it that way, you start to see runners running faster, you see people enjoying life better, you see as they get older, they age better, and it's not that difficult to give you the tools to help you stay out of pain or at least significantly reduce it.
Well, you know, so many times people think that when you go to a chiropractor, all he does is he'll just adjust you and you're out the door and you're good to go. And I think that's such a misconception about the way some chiropractors work. I think that just happens to be the name of your degree and your profession. So I know a lot of your information in your book talks about so many different treatments, so many different ways that you can not only look at the body, but then also be able to remedy that solution. In other words, give an answer. How can I work through this? How can I don't want to use the word cure, but kind of how can I adjust my body so that this is not an issue all the time?
Well, the first thing that I tell people, and we go over this in the book, is the fact is that you have to level out the pelvis. So how do you do that? Well, if you're built asymmetrically, one of the best ways to do it, and I see it applied or misapplied all the time, podiatrists will constantly do an orthotic where they'll go ahead and they'll say, here, put this in your shoe, it fits in one shoe, and then in the other shoes it doesn't fit, and it's heavy, it's big, it's bulky, and you could design something that's much more slim and small and easy to put in shoes and fit somebody's lifestyle. And if you'd like compliance from the general public, you got to work with their life. And I've learned this long ago that people aren't going to go ahead and drop everything just so you're happy with a clinical recommendation. It doesn't work that way in the real world. In the real world, if a woman wants to wear high heel shoes when she goes out to a wedding, she's going to go wear high heel shoes, even if they're killing her feet. But if
right.
I can give you a few recommendations that make it feel better, then you're going to feel pretty good about yourself, or you won't be suffering for 3 days in pain. If you want to wear flats, but they're not the right thing for you, you're going to wear the flats that you like because they look good. But if I can give you an insert that works in there that allows you to do what you want to do, and you can go ahead and just put an insert that nobody even knows is there, it's a win-win because now you're not hurting and you're doing what you want to do. So the first thing to do is make common sense recommendations. And that's how I usually start. I usually tell people, if you're built a certain way and you're getting those symptoms, the worst thing to do is wear flat sandals. But you can go to a uh-huh. store like DSW and you can or the walking company, and they have tons of sandals that have really good inserts built into the sandal itself. So you just wear the sandal, and it gives you the correction you need. So,
you know, and I think so many people – I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say there's a lot of ways to just make this work for yourself. So the first thing that I tell people that they need to do is level yourself out. And the easiest way that you can do it, and you don't need me to do it, is most people can walk in the store and get a good quality insert like a Superfeet or a Power Step. You should avoid, like, the Dr. Scholl's because I'm sure they don't like me saying this, but they really don't hold you. They really don't have enough strength in that device to even make a correction. I don't care if you're using their custom one. And then I see these pseudo-custom ones like Roadrunner Sports does because they upsell people. Yet you can buy the $40 Superfeet in the store, which work much better. So I tell people keep it simple. Some people are built in a way where they really aren't going to do very well with that kind of insert because they'll keep on flattening them out. Those people may need custom. It's a better value proposition over a 5-year ownership period. So I tell people the first thing we do is we level people out because if you don't level people out, the myofascia will continue to tighten. It locks your pelvis, distorts it. You wake up every single morning all kinked up. You get in the shower. You do your little dance. Takes you 10 minutes in the shower to loosen up, then you go to do your day, and this is how a lot of people live their lives, and that's unacceptable.
You know, I think so many people don't realize it until they just keep, like we said in the beginning, they just keep going and going. I can remember about 10 years ago when I was with another acupuncturist, and I was getting some more information because I do acupuncture. And the doctor said, oh, this client we're having today, she's coming in because she used to live in San Francisco, and she wore high heels for 30 years, and she walked up and down those hills all the time in the high heels. And now at the age of 60, she was actually almost wheelchair-bound because of the pains in her feet. And how long do you keep going, you know, down that road until you say later, wow, you know, I really should have maybe not done that then. Or even now with acupuncture, let me tell you, acupuncture is fabulous. But again, too, it's just one part of the picture. I mean, even in your book, there are so many different parts to the picture. You can't just, like we said, adjust, or you can't just put an insert in, or you can't just do this or that. It is really a whole program that you institute with your clients, and you talk about it. I mean, your book is very, very extensive, you know. It's over 200 pages, and people are like, oh, I'm not going to read that. But really, you need to read it because it has so much information. Like we said, not a quick fix. You're not going to solve your problem about your back or your pain or your toes or whatever it is in 10 minutes, right?
No, and the fact is that most people don't really have any understanding of what's gone wrong with their health. In fact, you know, we're surprised when we have the heart attack. We're surprised when the
right.
doctor tells us our blood pressure is up. We're surprised when all these other things happen. We're surprised. And then what happens is we're fearful. And, you know, unfortunately, that watershed moment happens after the heart attack. You know,
mm-hmm.
and believe it or not, with some people it never happens. And the fact is that the heart attack is really a symptom that there was probably some inflammation in the body going on for years. And there were probably other symptoms of it. And, you know, I mean, there's a whole science, you know, nutritionally also, like something called leaky gut, which is a way of, as we age, a lot of times our gut doesn't quite filter things out through the bloodstream the way it should, and other things get in, and autoimmune system symptoms may actually start cropping up, which could be another source of chronic pain. There are all sorts of foods that are inflammatory. If you go on the internet, even in my book, I have a whole list of inflammatory foods. I've actually been on a diet right now that has taken me off of almost all the inflammatory foods, and I actually feel better and have more energy. So, and I'm not saying that you can't have those foods. I'm just saying is that it's just another thing to be aware of, because we have so many different things that are affecting us, and unfortunately, the nice medical solutions that have been given to us actually are harmful in their own ways. And I have tons of people coming in that are on cholesterol meds now that are in so much pain just because of the medication itself. And if I remember correctly, Dr. Oz had once shown a liver of somebody who had been on cholesterol meds, and it was totally decimated. And the point is that there's no free lunch. But we need to go ahead and take ownership of our own situations. And there are things, and we all have busy lives, and I think more than ever, things cost more. You know, there's so much more running around. Life is so much more stressful. It's a balancing act, but it all falls apart if our health falls apart.
You know, you had spoken about in the book about redefining preventative care. I sometimes cringe when people say, I can't wait to get and sign on to Medicare because then I'll get all of those prevention tests so I can prevent all my problems. Well, by that age, you probably pretty much have got one foot in your derriere in the pot. It's just another foot waiting to fall. And then also you look at the idea, what is prevention? Is prevention just running a test? You know, and you're sitting there waiting for it until the test decides, oh, yeah, it's positive. It's sort of like saying, you know, I don't have diabetes or I don't have high sugar. And mine's only 99 today, and he said it's at 100 where it's a problem. So I'm going to keep waiting until it gets to 100. What kind of prevention is that?
Well, you see, the thing is that's health by numbers. That the only time that that works is maybe you have diabetes and you got to stay within a certain range. But, you know, you have these people that are being put on cholesterol meds when they have a 220 cholesterol. And there's this idea of this one size fits all. And, you know, there's this dirty secret in medicine on how the drug companies and the FDA have gotten together, and they've gone ahead and they've created all these protocols for, now this is high blood pressure. No, now it's this number. Oh, now it's this way. Oh, we just did a study. Well, now it's this way. If I was the consumer, that would drive me nuts. And the fact is that it's all designed to make you fearful, because what's happened is, and I have a blog article on this, which I thought was really interesting. At one time, 160 over like 95 was considered normal. Then the numbers were lowered to like, I guess it was like 140 over 80. As soon as you lowered that number, the drug companies just captured a whole bunch of people on medications that lower your blood pressure. Then they lowered it to 120 over 80. Now you just captured a whole bunch more. And it's very insidious, but they've done this on quite a number of occasions. And the question is, who do we trust? And it all really comes back to the only person you can really trust is yourself. And the only way you can go ahead and trust yourself is becoming knowledgeable. And the only way to become knowledgeable is you can't do it through the healthcare profession, because I'm fully convinced after being in this profession some 28 years that as long as we keep people dumb, they do dumb things, they spend a lot of their money, and as long as it's not their money, it's an insurance company's money, they keep on doing what they're told to do, like lemmings. And the real problem out there in healthcare is many of these things aren't health. They're crisis intervention. And many of these crisis intervention cause further crises. So, and I just put a blog post the other day that there's this new business that hospitals have created, and that's the business of mistakes. Because when mistakes are made in hospitals, whether it be the hospital or a staff member, and you need extra intervention or extra days, you're paying for their mistakes, and they're making money off of their mistakes that they created for you. So why would anybody even want to be in a hospital? And the only way you can prevent that is to start taking ownership of your own health. and there's no better time than today to do it.
Well, you know, I think with the invention of the internet, it has really changed patients over the years, because I can say with absolute certainty, I've been in healthcare since the early 70s, is that people pretty much relied on someone else that knew a little bit more. So, you know, it was great to go to the doctor because you really didn't know what he was talking about. So it was sort of like going to that foreign country and they hand you a dish of something and you sheepishly just give them money because you don't have any way to communicate with them. It was almost like that in the profession before, whereas now it's not. And I think, you know, the medical community is feeling the pressure. They know that. But it's really up to you, the consumer, because really when it comes down to it, your doctor's not going to die with you. You're the one that's going to die. It really is only about you, and it's very important to know that. You know, really go out and look and learn, and your doctor can't keep up on everything. You know, I really, to give them perks, doctors cannot be up on everything. I mean, you know that, I know that, both in our professions. Stuff goes at lightning speed. You know, I mean, new things like, well, whoa, you know, that's another thing to think about, or here's another thing to think about. Not everybody knows everything, and there's not someone who knows all, don't you believe?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I have friends of mine that are primary care physicians, and what's really frustrating for them is the fact that, and you remember this, especially if you've been in healthcare since the 70s, there was a time where your doctor maybe saw 4 patients an hour. He was compensated by you. It was a very simple transaction. And somehow in the 70s, things got turned on their head. And in the 60s, the AMA decided that they're going to start pumping out specialists. And what ended up happening is, as Medicare came along, doctors would send in a bill, they'd get paid. Doctors sent in a higher bill, they got paid. Before we knew it, the prices of healthcare were starting to go up because the whole focus on how healthcare was being done was changing. Now the whole hands-on thing that we used to do, because we didn't have MRIs, we didn't have the CT scans, we had an X-ray, you had to use your hands and your brain.
Right.
And kind of reminds me of years ago when they had the whole Chernobyl thing. And doctors were brought down to go ahead and evaluate people, and most of the machinery and testing machinery they had wouldn't work there. And they had to find older doctors who still knew how to manually diagnose. So, you know, the thing is that now is that doctors are no longer taught to do that. Doctors are taught to run tests. And most of these tests come negative because there's a big blind spot. And that's the musculoskeletal system. And I think, you know, you're right about doctors not having to know everything, but I think they should be getting a little bit more knowledge as far as how musculoskeletal, you know, works, and even just to have a more open mind. And some of the primary doctors have very open minds. Other ones are like, listen, it ain't my thing, just like doing blood tests ain't my thing, and I'm going to send it to them. But I think we all need to go ahead and maybe make ourselves a little bit more well-rounded so we understand this better, and it'll cut down on the amount of tests and people being diagnosed better.
You know, I think it's so interesting when we talk about medical tests. I can use my own as an example. I've had migraine headaches since I've been, goodness gracious, 10 years old. And they would come and go and whatever. I'd have good years and I'd have pretty stinky years. But they would always be doing their testing, and they're like, they lay you down. Well, most of the time, my issues may have been when I was sitting up or standing up. So my thought always was, well, why are you always taking a test for someone? Even when I would send people for, you know, an MRI or a CT, they're laying down. I said, but that's not when their pain is occurring. Sit them in the position of pain and take it and see what you find, you know? And so many times, that's why these tests, I think, always come back negative. Just like you said, if you're a person who I have really bad back pain and I'm taking a test where I'm laying down, well, I don't have back pain, doctor, when I'm laying down. So, of course, it's not going to show. That bone may not show its imposition. And you put them in a CT or upright position and then take the test, and you'll see something whole different, correct?
Well, there's actually... talking about that whole idea, there's actually the whole standing MRI concept that addresses
right.
that. And I've actually had patients where they're getting numbness in a certain position and they're not in others, and you see that there's a herniated disc. And I never
right.
like to go ahead and just totally use an MRI, because I take a look at people and I say, we're going to use the sum of the data to make our decision, because there's a lot of people walking around there with herniated discs that create no symptoms whatsoever. And the
right.
question always is, what's actionable and what's not? And but, you know, some of these, you know, you go ahead and have them bend their head forward, and you can actually see the impingement taking place on the MRI.
Right.
And that's where these things come in handy, addressing it the same way as you were saying, this whole positional symptomology. And we evaluate people doing that using active evaluation as well. And active evaluation methods are basically doing physical evaluations, but instead of all the static orthopedic tests that many of us learned in school, which are kind of hopelessly outdated at this particular point, there's a new movement towards active evaluation where we're actually taking a look at movement patterns, taking a look at body recruitment, taking a look at how the body acts about gravity, and then going ahead and making some changes in there and see, did we change the way that worked and how does the patient feel after that? And it's a lot different than the old idea of, it's this, do this 10 times and we'll talk. And under managed care, which is kind of like this whole scheme to go ahead and basically have us get less but pay more, which is kind of
right.
like where most of us find ourselves right now. I mean, I can go off on that, but we only have an hour. But the real problem with the whole model is that, are we looking at quality or are we just looking at cut costs? And who's going to define quality for us? Is it an insurance company defining quality as costs? Or is it going to be us, the physicians, defining quality as, it's not just the quality measures that we're being told. In my mind, quality is, how do I get a better result in less time with a more satisfactory long-term outcome? That's quality. And you know what? If I go ahead and I do something that costs twice the price, but it takes a third less visits than the other guy who's charging 30% less and taking three times as long, and you don't feel as good, is that a quality measure? And in the medical world, I would imagine it would work the same way. You have to take a look at the quality of what we do, how we do it. Is the quality of, I line up 20 people, I do this one test on them, 18 of the tests come back negative, two of them positive, or could I put my hands on them because maybe there's a musculoskeletal component? Hospitals have known for years that many people come in with chest pain and they send them away with a big bill saying it's muscle spasm. But
right.
the consumer doesn't know. They're freaked out, you know? And there's that whole knowledge gap, and unfortunately sometimes the internet makes it worse because there's a lot of sites that preach a philosophy versus really giving them real information. And what I try to do in my blog, which is basically an extension of where I am as far as a writer, you know, which is kind of the same voice that my book is in, the thing that I try to do is I try to go ahead and take these things that are printed in the New York Times, take them that are printed in other areas, and say, hey, this is not a philosophically or dogmatic idea. This is basically how it really works. And I know that they're saying this, but I want you to look at it from this point of view and see it wide open in the bigger picture, you know, as a bigger world item, so to speak. And then you can actually start to understand better why you would hurt. A great example of this is when I talk about knee problems. I just say, any doctor that looks at the knee without looking at the foot and the hip and the pelvis is wasting your time and your money. And I'll tell you why. Because what they're looking for is things to go ahead and throw at it as a problem. Because a knee is just a conduit. So if your knee goes bad or if you have knee pain, I've seen tons of people with pelvic problems that have knee pain. You take care of the pelvic problem, the knee pain's gone away. Yet you go the other route, they're looking at the knee, and they're running an MRI already, and we've just spent $2,000. And, you know, I could have resolved it in about a quarter of that money, and you're walking around just fine. So you know, what is, again, that whole idea, getting back to the idea of quality, what is quality? And it's not a professional thing per se. It's about what are the right things to do, what are the right ways to look at things, and how do we arrive at an appropriate diagnosis? And, of course, an appropriate diagnosis is the beginning of quality, but what is an appropriate diagnosis? Is it patella tendonitis, or is it me saying to the next doctor, well, we have a gait issue, and we're seeing kneecap tracking secondarily to foot over pronation and the hip. So if I did that and you send it to the therapist, he'd know exactly what I'm talking about. If I tell you patellotendinitis, it's subject to interpretation, and anybody can do anything based on their professional bias. And I think that's how you determine quality.
You know, I think so many people have the idea of it just hurts, just fix it. And you have so many unique ways of looking at it in your book. And again, to those listeners, the book is Cheating Mother Nature, What You Need to Know to Beat Chronic Pain. And you very extensively talk about it from the very beginning, why you decided to start looking at the body as you say, a mechanic, and looking at the different angles and how there could be stress all the way through the body and how to work with it. But not only in just let's just pop and crack that joint, but let's look at how the muscles contribute to it, how your diet contributes to it, how your lifestyle contributes to it, and that is just strictly so important. And people still come across with, I kind of get it, but I don't kind of get it. And, you know, I have always used this one analogy when I would have clients come in. I'd say, well, let's think of the body this way. I just washed a shirt in the washing machine, and I want to hang it up to dry. And I'm going to use one of those metal hangers, you know, the kind that you can bend and torque that you can use, you know, to unlock your car if you needed to, called pop-a-lock kind of idea. Well, if you take that hanger and you think of it as your shoulders and you bend one of the pieces because that's maybe your pocketbook that you're carrying all the time, and you say, okay, I'm going to bend it a little, I'm going to hang my shirt on there. And you hang the shirt up and you say, wow, it's all wrinkled on this side. What's the difference, you know? And, oh, look at this side, the shoulder's all stretched out. Well, that's the concept of looking at your body. It's doing the same thing. And it's so difficult for people to grasp that just a slight change can actually affect the whole.
You know, it's very simple. I mean, for those listeners out there, a very simple way to go ahead and test yourself out for asymmetry, mm-hmm, is stand on one leg, do it for 30 seconds. You're falling over, you failed. Stand on the other leg. Can you do it for 30 seconds? If you can, you passed. Well, one side passed and one side failed, and if you're in chronic pain, you just figured it out. You look down, I can guarantee you that the one side that flares out, chances are that the glutes have shortened and tightened, which is why you couldn't hold yourself, and you were falling over. Now, that simple test can be used many different ways. Another way is just doing a slow, deep knee bend. If you can't do a slow, deep knee bend, that usually means your calves are tight. And if your calves are tight, that'll mess up the firing pattern in the pelvis. So, and what you start to see is one thing is connected, other is connected to another, is connected to another. And the biggest challenge for most people is finding a practitioner that looks at them, not just the symptoms they showed up with. But when you're in a lot of pain, the first thing they want you to do is put the fire out. So most doctors on the acute visit are firemen, you know. Uh-huh. And we have to go ahead and figure it out. And there are certain people that are patient, and they're willing to go through the process because they know that this is the way to do it. There are other people who are like, give me drugs. Give me anything. And, of course, we have certain things that we can hand out that are more nutritional supplements, but they have the effect of decreasing pain. You can use bromelain for the back if it's really acute or if it's a disc problem. Sometimes disc problems, and I've had a disc problem, it could take 6 months to heal. I mean, literally 6 months until you finally feel kind of normal. But I tell people, if you trust and have faith in the process, it will not only get you there, but it will get you to the point that the likelihood of having this problem happen again and again and again is significantly reduced. And that's really what you want to go after. And that will translate into a whole bunch of other things, because as you feel better, you tend to go ahead and do more. As you feel worse, most people tend to box themselves in, which they limit their activity, Well, when you limit their activity, what ends up happening is there's other problems like cardiovascular, and you start to see the body really depends on this constant movement and constant action, because without it, we kind of wither on the vine. And if you think about it, years ago, what did it take to prepare a meal? Well, you go out in the backyard, you get chicken, spend 20 minutes, get the feathers off of it,
right?
Now, you want to go ahead and go. You can go to Costco, you get the grilled chicken, you bring it home, throw it in the microwave, done. How much work was in that? So, you know, this whole thing, that's why we see so many people at health clubs now. They're trying to supplement because they know that they need it. They know they feel better. And the fact is that when you're physically fit, you're also mentally sharper as well. So there's a lot of benefits. And if you have kids and you have to constantly do running around, there's this endless, boundless energy. And as you get older, it gets more difficult. So the fact is that we need to go ahead and keep ourselves physically fit and mechanically sound. And what I do chiropractically is part of that, but what you do to take care of yourself is a very big part of that. That I'm not going to do for you. That you're not going to do for them. That's their responsibility. And the big problem we have today is people have been finding that more of the responsibility is being forced on them by higher copays and higher deductibles and things of that sort. So they're like, Well, what do you mean it's not a $15 copay? What do you mean the visit was $110? And I said, it was always $110 based on your insurance. The only difference is that now your employer's saying, here, you have a $5,000 deductible. I'm going to pay $3,500 of it. The rest is your problem. And hopefully you won't use that. That'll save us money. As the insurance company continues to raise your rates, and as people continue to avoid doctor visits because now they're seeing the expenditure of real money because it's not just a $15 copay. But the fact is that we need to get away from this whole idea. And it's, taking responsibility. And then there are things that you can do to make yourself feel better. And, I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. You know, I can go into, like, foam rollers if you want. We can kind of go into stuff like that. But the whole idea is the responsibility has always been yours. And the reality is that with a $10 copay, with busy lives, we haven't really taken responsibilities for ourselves until somebody tells us you have diabetes, you have this, you have that. And it's like, oh, my God, now what do I do? And then, of course, the medical end always gives you this one point of view when there are other points of view that sometimes are better options. And I'm not saying that we're going to treat diabetes because that's not what we do. But just as an example, you know, the whole cholesterol thing. Yeah, there's a lot of ways that you can get cholesterol in line without taking something that destroys muscles, destroys the liver, and creates other problems for you, and now has to make you dependent going 3-4 times a year just to make sure your liver isn't getting destroyed while your muscles are killing you. You know, there's better ways. And as you're trying to stay fit and get exercise and lose weight while taking this stuff.
You know, we could also always go down the road of it's great to get your cholesterol low if it's in the fours and the fives or whatever. But this theory now of less that you can get it, the smaller the number, the absolute best that it is. But then you wonder why all of those people, and I mean all, I think it's 100% across the board. If it's going much lower and it's in the 100s, low 100s and less, you're definitely looking at then hormones. And we don't even want to go there, so we'll just skip that whole conversation. So when we're talking about the body, too, about you say about the muscles and the bones, I think it's so important to touch on the idea also about blood flow. You know, people say, I don't know what you're talking about. What's that? And they just ignore it. Or they say, we really want to get your organs to work better. And it's like, you're nuts. I don't care. I really don't care whether my liver's working good. I don't really care if my lungs can breathe or whatever. But if you're a person who is sitting at a computer many, many hours a day, and we all know the posture for working at a computer, it's not sitting up straight, arms back, chest out. It's just the opposite. It's rolled forward, bent forward, looking down, neck cranked. And all of the blood flow is going to your most important organs, your lungs and your heart and your brain. And how much, you know, how much you really need to pay attention to that in health And then you get up and you say, oh, man, I've really got a headache. It's got to be the computer. Really? Maybe it's just the blood flow to your head because you had it torqued the whole time, you know? And that's really definitely something, another way to look at what you need to pay attention to.
See, from my perspective, is a lot of people don't realize that if you're having mechanical issues and you have a torqued pelvis, what ends up happening is those people will sit at a desk, and they'll be complaining of their necks. The last people constantly rub their shoulders, and it's because their pelvis is locked up. Because the pelvis is half the motion of the body, you lock that up, and everything up top just strains. So they'll be getting headaches because, let's say, the right hip is locked up. It'll create a line of muscle tension all the way up to the base of the skull.
Right.
And that's a very common reason for headaches. And I know that, you know, read studies about, okay, this particular nerve seems to be involved, but clinically, when you're taking a look at it, anybody that comes in with headaches, typically there's asymmetry, typically there's one side tighter than the other, and it'd be very shocked if I didn't see jaw involvement as well, because it puts tension on all the structures and everything just deviates to that side, and eventually, after it's going on and it's been chronic, you're going to have a lot of chronic problems in the shoulders, in the neck. And essentially, when the pelvis distorts one way, the rib cage distorts the other. So now it inhibits your breathing. So now if you have any sort of cold in your system, you're probably going to get a secondary infection because we don't even use the lower part of our lungs. So one of the things that I tell people, it's common sense, but they're like, oh, that's hooey. And it's like, no, it's not hooey.
Mm-hmm.
It takes nothing to do it, but takes slow, deep breaths. And it cuts out secondary infections. It's brilliant. In its simplicity, but it works. And the other thing is, and studies have been, and I've blogged about this, but studies have talked about this idea that sitting for long periods of time will cut years from your life.
Oh, for sure.
And there's data that's supporting that. And there's even a couple of companies out there that are designing these desks where you're kind of pseudo-sitting. So you're not really sitting. You're kind of sort of sitting standing where you're kind of having to constantly be mobile on this desk. And, I mean, I forget who came up with it. There were a couple of designs. I think Taba might have been one of them. But it's really interesting. I don't know if any of these ideas have actually taken off, but there's something to be said for constant movement around the office. And even if you have to sit at a desk, there's nothing preventing you from standing and getting up and go and moving around a bit. And also another thing is, if you're wearing inserts in your shoes, even if you're sitting, and if one side tends to lock up because you have overpronation, the foot turns out, it'll level out your hips and you'll feel better in your shoulders. So I worked for Johnson & Johnson for a couple of years. We used to do a lot of their carpal tunnel cases. And unfortunately, it stopped when they changed the medical director. But one of the things that I had suggested at the time is that they do a study, because I said to the medical director, I said, didn't you notice it's the same people that keep on showing up in here for the same workers' comp injuries?
Right.
He says, how'd you know that? And I said, because you could change their desk ergonomics, but it's their body ergonomics that are making them hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, this is what you got to fix. That's the problem. You know, you can get the ergonomics perfect, but if their body's a mess, their body's a mess. So, you know, we have to look at it from a more open point of view to be able to really understand what's going on. And incidentally, now they send me a lot of the top executives. So I lost the workers' comp, but now I get, you know, their executives, that, you know, because I'm about a mile, I guess a couple of miles from J&J. So, but it's a good company to buy stock in, by the way.
Well, can you give us, we have about 10 minutes left, if you can give us just a short brief on, if I came to you today, what would you suggest to me? Just an idea, like, am I going to get supplements? Am I going to get a diet? Am I going to get surgery? Am I going to get a bunch of tests? Or how you really like to look at people?
Well, the first thing that I always do is I look at people, and people don't always notice it, but a lot of times I'll be sitting in my office maybe doing some work, and I see them walking in the hallway, so I'm already looking at them. They don't realize that I'm eyeing them over from the moment that I see them. And the reason is because body style determines function. In other words, determines how you're built. And there's a guy, Brian Rothbart, who is a podiatric researcher, and he came up with this idea of bioimplosion. And basically, bioimplosion means that if you have a low foot or a flat arch and that foot turns out, the more it turns out, the more the hip drops. And I came up with my own paper based on his, which talked about what happens in the muscles and some of the changes that occur. But the point of it all is that with bioimplosion, if you have that going on one side and not on the other, it'll torque the pelvis. Now, you have tons of people taking Pilates that are trying to train a torque core. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. There are things you can do to get it to stop being that way. And then you go back to Pilates and you'll be going, oh, this is so much easier. Oh, I don't have to go once a week just to feel half decent. And, you know, you got Pilates teachers out there, not to pick on Pilates, but that'll say, well, if you can't do it this way, do it this way. Well, if they can't do it that way and they're doing it the other way, you're further crippling them because the problem is they're not able to do it. So mm-hmm. what I try to do is I try to take a look at people's their body style. So if I'm looking at you and you're talking to me and you may not realize that your left shoulder is leaning forward, that's telling me the left foot's turning out. If I'm looking at the right side and it's not doing that, I already know kind of what this body style is in my own mind, and I already have made some assumptions of what I'm going to see, and I kind of geared some of my questions towards, okay, do you get calf cramps? Do your ankles bother you? Do your feet hurt? Do you go ahead and do your knees pop when you crouch down? Does your jaw pop? Do you go ahead and do you feel kinked up in the morning? You know, I mean, all these type of things on an average patient. If you're in an auto accident, of course, I'm going to ask some, you know, things about concussion too, but that's just a minority of people. And then I've already kind of have some assumptions in my own mind, and probably by the time I've asked that question, that person has completed a roadmap for me, and I probably 80-90% can go ahead and say, this is what's really going on with you. And most of the time when I tell people, I say, look, I think I know what the problem is. Let me show it to you. Where most doctors would say to you, well, let's go see why you're having a problem. If you ask the right questions and if you understand body style, which some physicians do, then you can go ahead and make assumptions based on predictability versus trying to go ahead and look for the needle in the haystack, which is how most diagnosis is done, and that's why there's a lot of errors done in diagnosis. And while my method is more about ruling things out, it's process of elimination, versus trying to go ahead and find the thing and call it something and do something to it, what I'm looking at is the entire body and how it functions. So I'll have the person do a deep knee bend. I'll show them different things. I'll show them what's going on. I'll show them why the knee's sore. Most people are pretty blown away by the fact that I kind of know what I'm going to see before I see it, but it's not rocket science if you understand how I'm looking at it and why I'm doing it that way. And then we can make sense out of what the symptoms mean, and I can connect the dots for you. And it's not that the elbow hurts and the neck hurts and this hurts and that hurts. It's that, why are they all hurting? Why is all this stuff existing? And most people find out that there's usually a commonality to it. And once you point out that commonality, all of a sudden their eyes open. And there are certain people they don't. There are certain people that are like, I don't believe any of this. And I can put my iPhone on and mirror them and literally show it to them. And they're still like, I don't know if they're oblivious or if they're just hard-headed or they're here not because they wanted to be, but because their husband made them come to the visit, and I've seen that too. And they're just doing it to appease their spouse, even though they can't really disagree the facts, but the problem is that they don't want to hear what I have to say. But for those that come with a little bit of an open mind, have never been in an evaluation like that before, especially runners and especially athletes, that's how we solve problems. That's how we get runners running a lot faster. That's how I have two people right now that are looking to run on the Jamaican team, and they're one is running the 100, one is running the 400, and this girl, I think she's gonna be a force to be reckoned with. So it's just a matter of getting the mechanics right. I'm not a trainer. Other people can train them, but I'll make the process work for everybody. And that's how I see myself, as a facilitator. And once you understand you, nobody gives you a manual for how you built. They don't show you that. I'm going to give you the keys to the car, and you're going to learn how to drive it properly.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Dr. William, thank you so much for being my guest today. In closing, if you could suggest to our listeners all of your blog links and also where they could purchase the book, that would be great.
Sure. The book is Cheating Mother Nature, What You Need to Know to Beat Chronic Pain. It can be purchased through Amazon. It can be purchased through CreateSpace. If you type in Diary of an NJ Chiropractor on Google, it should come up. There's going to be tons of postings. You can get in there. That's also kind of a backdoor way of getting into our website, which is backfixer1.com. So BACKFIXER1.com. And then, you know, as far as more about me, we even have a website, my author's website, which is www.whypeoplehurt.com. So those are numerous ways to go ahead and find out.
That's absolutely wonderful. And I'd like to thank you again for being our guest today. You know, I think it's so many times people are looking for a quick fix, and when it doesn't work, they doctor shop. And that doctor shopping is really them not looking inside their self what really is going on.
Well, I think most people do it out of frustration. And again, the problem is that most people make healthcare decisions out of fear instead of knowledge.
Right.
This book will make you a lot more knowledgeable. And
yes,
the decisions you'll make going forward will be safer, better, and healthier. One other thing I wanted to add, I'm involved with this company called Eclipse Mattress, and they're launching a new mattress that I helped design, and it is going to be launched. I can't say the name of it because I'm not so sure that they want me to say the name of it yet, but in the next couple of months, it's probably going to be in stores. So when I'm sure there'll be announcements on my site, you know, and you'll hear about it and you'll see my picture, but it's a pretty exciting development because we've basically taken a look at the standard mattress that's designed out there, designed for something for people who are in chronic pain so they can sleep better. And one of the things that they're showing, especially with fibromyalgia, is that if you're sleeping better, you tend to have less pain.
Absolutely, and it's a lot less drugs, too, because as we all know, our body does tell us a lot of things. And those people out there taking Viagra, we can tell you, we know what you're taking, you know, so our body is always telling us a story. So thank you so much for being with us today. Dr. Williams' links are on the show description page from today, and you'll be able to click right into his website, and you will also be able to then view his blog and sign up to be able to follow his blog. So I'd like to thank everyone for being with us today, and it's been a great show, and looking forward to tomorrow. Have a great day.